Calling all benders and non-benders alike, dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flameo hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben Standing's with us. Why do you always play I'm Still Standing, Elton John, coming into Ben Standing's segment? I just kind of heard that for like the third straight day.
It's his intro.
It is?
Yes, because Denton played it before.
I asked Denton,
I was like,
I'm just realizing this.
And this is what we play.
Well, Ben Standing's doing a lot more than just still standing.
That's true.
By the way, still standing kind of means that he's been standing all along very tall, and I think I've recognized that. I hope others are starting to recognize that. He had the Brian Robinson Jr. thing before anybody did. 53-man roster, nobody does it better. We were certainly talking the other day, carefully, but certainly discussing the fact that no guaranteed dollars from Terry's agent meant perhaps the deal will look a little different when we get the actual numbers, which, of course, we've talked about it today. It does. Ben will be with us all season long, every Monday and Friday at 12, Mondays after games. And when they play on Monday night and Thursday night, and we got a lot of those things coming up, he'll be with us that next day as well. Where do we start? How about this? You think Washington should be interested in Taylor Heinicke as QB3?
I tweeted out yesterday that he was released, which I'm sure is what you're referring to. And I honestly just did it because he's Taylor Heinicke and he's a thing. And like, I wasn't doing it to be like, hey, Adam Peters, bring him back. But clearly that's how a lot of people took it, including people who we know who yelled at me for trying to instigate something. But I don't think Taylor Heinicke will be coming here, but hopefully he lands a job somewhere.
People were upset that you were trying to instigate something with just a simple tweet that said the Chargers released QB Taylor Heinicke.
Absolutely.
I love the games that everybody plays. No, I did. I just did a quick call segment. Of course, Sabah was on, you know, before the show started, hoping that I would do the segment on Taylor Heinicke. You know, in all seriousness, he'd be a good fit for this group as a QB3.
Well, you know, all things being equal, sure. I mean, you know, they want mobility out of the position, obviously. He certainly has that. We know the arm strength isn't there, but, you know, Cliff is good at, you know, conjuring up plays to, you know, work towards the strengths and weaknesses of the quarterback. The issue is, in the short term, is why Josh Johnson is here, I believe, because they got to let Mariota sort of ramp back up after missing most of training camp. They need somebody who knows the system. Johnson's been here. Yada yada. So that's why you wouldn't replace. I wouldn't think you would replace Johnson with almost anybody for now. But if in 3 weeks Mariota's good, then who knows?
What do you think Mariota's going to be for next Sunday?
Well, you know, again, like with all these injuries, they're suggesting that he is heading in the right direction. But I guess, you know, he just hasn't practiced, so it's not that maybe he will be fine by week one, but you still have to take these steps to get there. It's like, you know, it's asking, you know, is Terry going to be able to play his usual amount of snaps week one? I don't know. We have to see where he's at with his football conditioning over the next, you know, he's got less than 2 weeks to get ready for week one in that regard. So I could sit here and say, sure, but until they see him out there in the practice field, you know, they won't know for sure what he can do. So I think it's just the same thing with Mariota. Not to say he won't be ready for week one. It's that until they definitively know who he is, they have to have some sort of insurance.
All right. Give me your overall thoughts on where we are with the 53-man cutdown. Obviously, it's always a dynamic situation between now, even in the first couple of weeks of the season. But first, what'd you make of how they got down to 53?
Well, I'll just say broadly, you know, I mean, it's clear that the roster has improved in several areas, right? We've talked before about the cornerbacks, just massive difference from where they were a year ago at this time. The defensive line certainly is deeper than it was a year ago. Now that Terry is back and Noah Brown is able to get back, you know, Deebo Samuel has been really, really good this summer. So now you've upgraded at that role with Deebo Samuel, and now, you know, they have much more upside at the receiver position they did a year ago. Not to mention Jaden's got another year of experience, et cetera. So all that is important. Now, in terms of what really kind of happened yesterday, I think the biggest thing, and this is not just for Washington, this is kind of league-wide, I'm looking like, this is an incredibly uninspiring group of cuts.
I agree. I mentioned that for a cutdown date, there weren't like major headlines. Like the headline at one point yesterday was Tommy DeVito got cut. I'm like, what? That's breaking news worthy? But it kind of speaks to kind of a benign day comparatively.
Yeah, and even when you say, like, well, look, you know, there may be some sneaky talent out there that we just don't know about that scouts
right.
do, but I texted some, you know, folks this morning with different teams, and, you know, my basic text was kind of what I just said to you. Boy, what an uninspiring group. And one personnel executive just sent me back, you know, a bunch of exclamation marks. Another one was just like, yeah, this is pretty vanilla. There's nothing really here. And I say that because I thought at first, I was like, boy, is this a sign of Washington just really didn't have nearly the depth that maybe we all were discussing, you know, throughout the summer to a degree, that they would have some tough decisions? Because I don't know that there really were tough decisions. But it's not just them. I think league-wide this was the case. I don't know exactly why, other than maybe teams are just getting better at assessing who they need to keep. Or I also think there's a lot of veteran free agents from the sort of the middle class who weren't even in camps and will probably start getting signed soon, and maybe that aspect played a role here. But in terms of Washington, like, so I got 51 of 53 out of my projection. I'm not saying that to be like, oh, well, that's a good number. I'm saying that because the only things I got wrong were two defensive linemen. I had Jalen Holmes, Carl Davis in. They went with Eddie Goldman, and then obviously keeping Josh Johnson. For me, it was like there's like 14 defensive linemen for 10 spots. They only kept 9. Everything else was fairly obvious. And again, I'm not saying that because I got it right. I'm saying that because of what other options were they going to do? I never thought they would keep 6 receivers because they barely have 5 right now that you feel completely comfortable with if you needed to start a game. You know, the 4 tight ends, that seemed pretty logical. 5 cornerbacks, sure, maybe they could tack on a 6, but again, who was that person going to be? There was nobody that was particularly obvious, and so on. So, you know, I guess it's like it wasn't a lot of drama. There weren't nearly the decisions that had to be made that I think we typically see, even for, you know, when this team was bad, there's always some decisions at the end, like, ooh, what are they going to do? You know, Brian Robinson getting traded the week prior, that was the big deal, but that already happened. So it wasn't much drama there, and, you know, I think it was all pretty straightforward for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, if we got from Dan Quinn and Adam Peters where you were 3.5-4 weeks ago to where you are now, what player on that final 53, man, was a surprise? Like, I guess it would be someone like Kehoe or maybe Jacob Martin, but I can't come up with anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, Kehoe would be an obvious one, undrafted free agent. I don't think I had him on any of my projections until this last one, but I did have him on my last one. You know, to a degree, Bill Kroski-Merritt, he was a draft pick, but he showed some good things back in the spring, but it wasn't until training camp that when you watch him day after day, you're like, oh, there's something interesting here happening. You know, Chris Rodriguez probably doesn't make the roster if Brian Robinson is still here, but he also had to show that he was worthy of being on the roster. I think he did that over the course of the summer. But yeah, beyond that, I there was nothing really interesting. You know, they even brought in like a George Fant to take a roster spot
right.
because they were like, you know, they kept coming up like one body short on the offensive line. So yeah, there really weren't, you know, any surprises. You know, last year when Colson Yankoff made the team, I was kind of like, whoa, okay, I didn't see that one coming. This year, I don't think there was any of that.
So how do you respond to the fact that Washington's average age of their 53-man roster is at 28.1 years old? It's the first time that any team has been an average of 28 years of age or older for their 53-man in the last 12 years.
Wow.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flameo hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I mean, that's pretty fascinating. So my view on this, and this stems back to, we're not going to get into it, but the whole notion of, are they all in or whatever. This roster lacked so much depth or talent that when inherited,
right,
that in order to fill in the gaps, they had to get guys who could produce immediately. And also from last year, that was about building the culture. So all these vets, whether it was Bobby Wagner or other guys down the line, they were brought in for a specific purpose to help that aspect, as well as give you some sort of immediate contribution and you'll worry about the long term later. They ended up going with the same approach this time. You know, they made a couple of trades that took away some draft picks. And so I think it is, again, more of a short-term fix. And I think because they had the success they had last year, it wasn't like Peters or Quinn could say, well, we don't have to go. We don't have to kind of, you know, try to stay in the contender lane, because if you're a 7-win team, you're not even there. So I think they had to be like, well, what do we do now? How do we stay here? So they had to bring back a lot of the guys that they brought back. And then plenty of the other additions were guys who were typically, you know, more experienced on the older end, one-year deals and so on. So this will be something we'll have to discuss for next year. But for now, yeah, I mean, it's very interesting. The scary part is, if you're going to pick not to be an ageist, but if you're going to pick a group that's going to be more susceptible to injuries or a steep decline, the 30-plus-year-old players are the ones. Of course, guys like Bobby Wagner, Zach Ertz, they're not showing signs of slowing down based on last year, but these things happen. We just had this whole conversation about why Terry McLaurin, you know, turning 30 was a big deal. There's 21 guys in the roster, I think, who are 30 or plus this year. So they got a lot of guys there's going to be some questions about potentially.
We can get Jan Levinson Gould to come in and explain ageism to us if we want that to happen. I know you remember the episode. We are talking, of course, to Ben Standig at Ben Standig on X on Twitter. Ben writes on Substack. I'm a subscriber. I would urge you guys to be as well. I guess, you know, there's always the possibility some big ad. We saw Noah Brown last year. What are the chances it happens again? And then what would the position be?
Well, I think it would be the same position. Again, the rub is, just looking at the list, I don't know that there's anybody out there Noah Brown seemed very obvious last year. I had already heard, you know, back in free agency that they were interested in him, but he ended up staying with Houston. So there was already that notion in my head, but I think a lot of people picked up on that because Noah Brown had had some success in the league already. Martez with Valdez-Scantling is out there. I'm pretty sure he's going to go with another team. But I talked myself into thinking, could he be the De'Ami Brown this year? Just tell him to run go routes and Jaden will give you the ball. You know, so maybe you can find some players with specific talents that you think you can exploit and not worry about them being like a full dimensional type of receiver. But again, the list was either a bunch of guys who were past their prime or a lot of slot guys that they don't really need is the kind of how I was looking at the board. In terms of other positions, sure. I'm sure there are players who are out there who may be arguably better than somebody they have here at the bottom of a depth chart, but I don't look at this roster and think there's somebody that has to go. Like, why is this person here? The you mentioned, you know, the secondary. I think all 10 of the defensive backs to me are worthy of staying, and I doubt there'd be somebody out there who is better than, you know, necessarily better than what they have. You know, is there a better defensive tackle than Eddie Goldman? Maybe, but I don't think that's like a screaming need. So I think to me it's kind of receiver or bust, unless there just happens to be somebody out there that Peters or Quinn or someone else on the staff either knows or just happens to love.
All right, let's finish up with, we now know the details of the Terry McLaurin contract. I've discussed it a lot. The team has to feel pretty pleased. You've done some really good reporting with this, by the way. Ben, in Substack columns this week, reported that the first offer by the team was basically a 25 AAV deal, and that Terry was asking for north of Justin Jefferson money, which would have been more than 35 per year. I think Diana Russini discussed 40 to 41, Jamar Chase territory. But we now know that this deal is essentially $44.65 million guaranteed. I'm sure you would agree far less than probably what they were looking for. What do you? What's your take on now seeing this deal and all of the details to it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, first off, great for everybody involved that the deal got done. The team obviously needs him to play, and if he, you know, has a goal of winning a Super Bowl, you can't get that if you don't play, and now he can do that, and we don't have to hold a bake sale for Terry anytime soon. He's got good money. But in terms of the actual, what we've been discussing for the last umpteen weeks, yeah, it's a clear win for the team. I see people out there keep pointing to the $29 million AAV, which is already less than the $32 that was being discussed yesterday. And like you said, when you look into the numbers, it's $44 guaranteed, and there's no guaranteed money at signing beyond 2026, which really means that they can cut him after the 2026 season, and, you know, they take a modest cap hit, but like basically it would be like half of his $34 million cap charge that year, and they could get out of it right then if they wanted to. And what's key there is going into 2027, that is when Jaden Daniels' extension, it becomes extension eligible. And I'm sure they do not want to put money on the books if they don't have to, so that they can have a, you know, as best they can, free reign to plug him in, not have to cut a bunch of contracts to make it work and so on. And so, yeah, I mean, look, if Terry continues to produce as he did a year ago, they'll have no issue paying him.
Exactly.
But if in fact the age 30 thing proves potentially accurate and he starts to slow down even just a little bit, they can gotta get out of the deal. So, you know, look, again, I'm not trying to like crush Terry or his side, but when I see people saying that Terry got, you know, won this, or Terry got paid, or all these things, I mean, relative, again, to what we've been discussing for the last weeks and months, no, he didn't. He got, I mean, a lot less. Like A.J. Brown, he and A.J. Brown both signed deals that on paper are 3 for $96, but A.J. Brown got $84 million guaranteed. That's a massive difference than this. So, again, Terry's fine, his family's fine, all that, but in terms of the negotiation, to me it looks like a clear win for Washington.
All right, next week we can start to talk about predictions. Have you made one yet on season record?
Well, I keep, you know, I know like the over-under is what, 9.5?
Mm-hmm.
I keep sort of landing on 10 because I don't want to get yelled at by anybody. But, you know, look, I think it's...
Why do you get concerned about being yelled at? What is... I'll ask you next week for your definitive prediction, but is getting yelled at by people on social media going to drive part of your decision here?
Drives my whole life, Kevin. Haven't you figured that by now? No, I mean...
You don't think they're going to be very good this year. I kind of feel that.
I just think that I can't look at last year and just say stamp down another 12-win season. But this is why Jaden Daniels is so, so important. I know people understand this, but I don't know if everybody understands it to the degree they need to. As long as he's here, they have a chance to contend. Whatever else is going on, sure, you need good luck, you need the good defense, injuries, injury help, good injuries, whatever, or, you know, no injuries. But he gives you that shot. That's the hesitation. Without him, if it was this sort of average quarterback, of course they wouldn't have done what they did a year ago, but I would have far more concerns because of the tougher schedule. you know, the good fortune they had in a lot of the games late last year. But with him, he can mask a lot of problems. I wish we had seen him more in the preseason, only to sort of help that part sink in. But he would one drive, four plays, touchdown. So if he can extrapolate that, they'll be fine.
All right. Talk to you next week. Enjoy the weekend coming up in a few days. This is the last time for about maybe 21 weeks. You're going to be able to take a breath. Good work the last few weeks. I'll talk to you later.
Awesome as always, Kevin. Thanks.
Ben Standig, everybody. You can link to his Substack column at Ben Standig on X on Twitter. All right, Tom Brady, remember, he is part owner of the Raiders, which limited his access as Fox's number one analyst. Well, the NFL's jumped in and changed that. I'll explain what that means next.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flameo hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.